the Lord's Prayer for the past, how long has it been now? At least 8 weeks. This is the eighth, and this is the last week of this series. We come to a conclusion about connecting with God through the Lord's Prayer. So what I want us to do this morning is to read Matthew 6, 9 through 13, which is the scripture reading. So let us read together. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, there's another verse that from another translation would say, for thine is the power and the glory forever. And so I would want us to have that in mind, because that's what I'm going to be speaking specifically on, is that last verse. And so let's get right into that now. Let's do that. Now, I'm going to refer to the outline that is in the bulletin as well, so I'll just draw your attention to that, because I'm going to be making some references to that. And I want to get my own copy out here. You know, when we hear the news and we see the world in pain through those images and those pictures and those words, we see terrorism and homes destroyed, white supremacy, shootings, internet hacking thefts, corruption. And we wonder, where's the world headed? What's going to be the outcome of a world if we continue going in that direction? Where is our world headed? Well, one thing for sure, we've got a choice. Will we use this news that we see images on the all the time? Will we use that news to turn to God? Or will we turn away from God and turn to other things? In other words, in our society, in our culture, in our world, we have a choice right now of either continued in the disintegration that we see, which we hear and we see going on in our society, or we have a choice of a new reawakening by turning to God. Turning to God's promises, turning to God's purpose, turning to God. We can look at all the images, see all the destruction, see all the disintegration, or we can turn to God. It's our choice. Which will we do? I believe deeply that everything that we need for a reawakening, reinsurgent of God's power and spirit in our lives, is found in the Lord's Prayer. And that's why I've been sharing that with you over the past number of weeks. The final phrase of this prayer, and you can see it on your outline there, for thine, and he's talking about God, Jesus is saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Circle those words, kingdom and power and glory. You see, history is God's story. God is in control. No matter what images we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what we see going on in the world, God is in control. And you will never understand life until you understand kingdom and power and glory. You will never understand your particular purpose in life on this planet until you understand God's kingdom and God's power and God's glory. Because it all exists for a purpose, for a reason that God created it for. You were made by God. I think most of us would agree with that. Most of us here in this sitting would believe that we were created by God. In other words, you were made by God, but do you also know you were made for God? That's something we don't always acknowledge or understand. Until you understand that, until you understand, life's not going to make any sense unless you understand you were made and created for God, not just by God. God made you for Himself. God is love, and God made you to love you. And God does love you. And God wants you to love Him. And God wants you to be in that kind of relationship. God made you to live in His kingdom and to fulfill His kingdom. He made you to show His power. And He made you to bring Him glory. You're made for God, not just by God. And this is a critical question. Don't you know why you were created? Don't you know why? Because if you're not fulfilling that, you probably don't know. And if you don't know, you're probably not living life the way God wanted you to live it. Let me explain it this way. And you can write this down on your outline. God's kingdom is His plan. You see, first, the kingdom of God is His plan. It is His plan for history. And it is His plan for all of eternity. God existed before, and He will exist after everything else that we know is gone. God's plan is to be fulfilled in eternity. And that's where life is going. If you want to live a long life here and you want to find your pleasure and your enjoyment and your meaning and your purpose for life on how you live here on earth, you're going to miss the boat. You're going to miss the purpose. You're not going to live life the way God wanted, because life is just a momentary moment here of passing through the door that we call life here on earth as we enter eternity. You see, God's plan is fulfilled in eternity. But the kingdom of God is His plan. The second thing is that the power of God is His program. And what I mean by that is that it is how God accomplishes His plan of eternity. God does not accomplish His plan through human ideas or human efforts. He does it through His power. Now, the third thing is God's glory is His purpose. Everything God does, He does to reveal what He's like. That's His glory. He wants us to understand what God is like. And everything in the world, in the universe, every plant, every rock, everything brings glory to God. And just looking at the world, there's a lot of things that we can learn about God. And Paul writes about this, that even if we didn't have the scripture, you would not be free of not knowing God, because His fingerprints are all over the universe. By just looking at the world, even if we don't have the scripture, there's a lot of things we can know about God. We know God is organized. We know God is powerful. We know God is creative. Just by looking at His nature. However, through scripture, we know so much more. That God is loving, and that God is merciful, and that God is kind. We know that He's a God of justice through the scripture. We know that God is a God of righteousness. So God's glory is His purpose. God's purpose is that we love Him. That we obey Him. That we follow Him. That we worship Him. God's kingdom is here now. It's not something still out there waiting to come. A lot of people read Scripture and a lot of people worship, and they're praying that God's kingdom will come. Well, God's kingdom is here. You see, the truth is, the kingdom of God is wherever God is king. That is His kingdom. Jesus said it this way. He said, if He's king in heaven, then the kingdom of God is in heaven. If He is king on earth, then the kingdom of God is on earth. If He's king inside of you, in your life, if He's ruling in your heart and you are surrendered and submitted to His will, then the kingdom of God is in you. It is wherever God is king. That's God's kingdom. What is God's glory? It is the present reason for everything. You see, in Romans 11:36, it says this, everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by God's power, and everything is for His glory. You see, that is the glory of God. I've talked to people who say, you know, I have so much, and yet I feel unfulfilled. I've got a good family. I've got a good job. I've got great kids. I've got good friends. I've got a good church to be a part of. So why am I so unfulfilled? Well, it's because you were made for more than yourself. You will never be satisfied living for your purposes or for yourself. You weren't made to live for yourself. You were made to live for the kingdom and the power and the glory of God. And you will never find fulfillment in life until you begin to live God's kingdom, by God's power, and for God's glory. What I want to teach you today is how to live in God's kingdom that way. How to live by God's power. How to live for God's glory. In other words, how to live a fulfilled life. The kind of life that you were made and wired and designed and created by God to live. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, why did Jesus say, I've come to give you life? Because most people aren't living. They're just existing. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, you watch TV, you go to bed, and you get up in the morning, and you go to work, and you come home, and you watch TV, and you go to bed, and you repeat that over and over and over. And you often hear people say, man, I'm living. No, they're not living. They're just existing. They're in survival mode. Jesus said, I came that you might have real life, abundant life, the kind of life God created you to live, intends for you to live, the kind that God wants you to live. Why are most people not really living the way Jesus wanted them to, the way He came for them to? Why are they only existing? Because they're living for themselves. You are not big enough cause to give yourself meaning for life. If you think you are important enough and that you have reason enough to live for yourself, you've missed the whole point of life. You need something bigger than yourself to give your life meaning. And what is that bigger meaning and purpose and cause? It's the kingdom of God. So let's look at three keys to living in the kingdom of God, to fulfilling and having a fulfilled life. Here's the first thing. Real fulfillment comes through living in God's kingdom. That's the first key. I must live in God's kingdom if I'm going to have a fulfilled life. The Bible says it this way in 1 Thessalonians. It says, you should live in a way that proves that you belong to the God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. What does it mean to live in God's kingdom? It means you make God's agenda your agenda. You make God's will your will. You take care about what God cares about in life. Jesus said, God will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him. And you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. You see, God blesses whatever we put Him first in, whether it's our family, or our jobs, or our careers, our children, or whatever it might be, whatever we have that's important to us, if we put God first in those things, then it will be, the Bible says, we will be blessed. Because Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you have the kingdom of God, meaning Jesus is king in your life, that He's living in your life, if you have Him first in your life, anytime you put anything besides God first in your life, there's a word for that in the Bible. Do you know what it is? If you put anything in first in your life other than God, it's called an idol. The second commandment says, don't have any idols, don't have anything, don't have any other gods before me. We are to live in the kingdom of God by making God first place in our life. Now, the Bible says the second way to live a fulfilled life is to live by God's power. The Bible tells us this, for the kingdom of God is not just fancy talk, it is living by God's power. Did you know God does not bless self-reliant people? He blesses people who are dependent upon Him. People who are surrendered to Him. He blesses people who are submitted to Him. God blesses those who aren't self-reliant, but those who are God-reliant. You know, the problem with a self-made man is he usually worships his maker. He worships himself as a self-made man. He thinks, you know, I'm getting through this life pretty good. I did all this by my own hands, my own effort, my own smartness, my own diligence. God says, I don't bless somebody who's self-reliant. Instead, God blesses people who expect God to help them. Scripture tells us this in Ephesians 3. It says, by His mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. You see, God says, I am able to do more than you can imagine. This is something hard and difficult for people to understand. When we're trying to accomplish things in life, God can do more in 1 week in our lives by His power than we can do in our entire lifetime of effort and work. In other words, God can do more in 1 minute. What is happening in this time of worship? God can do more in our lives in this 1 hour that we're together than we could do in a whole lifetime of work in our effort. God wants to give us His power to heal, to make whole, to transform, to let us be the people that God created us to be, and God can do that in this 1 hour more than we could do our entire life in trying to change ourselves and trying to be what we wanted to be. We need to live by God's power in order to be fulfilled in life. How do I get God's power in my life? Here's three ways I want to share with you. First one is by praying. Prayer is the connection of God's power. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Tell me about your prayer life, and I'll tell you how much power you've got in your life that you're letting God, how He uses you and how you live your life day by day. You tell me about your prayer life, and I bet you I can almost tell you how much power you allow God to have in your life. We get power in our lives by praying. If you don't have any power in your life, brothers and sisters, what is that saying about you and me? There's a second way you get God's power in your life. And this one's going to surprise you, perhaps. By taking risks to obey God. God says when you take a risk to do what I tell you to do, even when it's hard, even when it's unpopular, even when it may cost you, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it may be expensive, even when nobody else around you is doing it, when you do that, when you take that risk, if you'll take the risk and you'll obey me, I will pour out my power in your life. You see, God wants us to grow in our dependence on Him and our faith in Him, and we only grow when our faith is being stretched, when it's being challenged. When we have to lay it down before God and says, I can't do this. Well, good, that's what God wants you to say. God wants you to say that you can't do it, but He can. So if you will obey Him even when all the odds are against it and trust Him and be submitted to Him, then your faith will be stretched and grow. So how do we live in God's power? By praying, I said. By taking risks, and there's one other way, by not giving up. In order for God to grow your faith, He's got to test it. And this is something really, really hard for Christians or for people to understand. When you're going through difficult times, you're going through things that seem to delay, and there's dead ends, and there's despair, and there's pain, and there's illness, and there's discouragement. God is saying, in many times, in many ways, this is a test. I'm going to teach you how to trust me, how to depend upon me. You think you can get through this on your own, and sometimes I have to get you really, really, really low before you understand it's not something you can do in your own power. It's not something you can do in your own strength. It's only something God can do. So I'm giving you a test. I'm going to teach you to trust me. I'm going to teach you to pour your faith into me. If you hang on and you grow in this test, in this experience, God will bless you. And God will give you the power that you need to overcome. Now let me get back. Here's the third thing you've got to do if you're going to live a fulfilled life. I must live for God's glory. The Bible says this. Jesus died to defeat sin. We're all sinners, so God died to defeat sin in all of our lives. But now, Jesus lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourself dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Whose glory are you living for? Some of you may be living for the glory of yourself. That you've made it, that you've succeeded, that you you're able not to be like other people that you see around you. It may be for your own glory. Some of you may be living for the glory of your children. Some of you may be living for your spouse's glory or your parents' glory. You're wanting to please them. You're wanting to look good in their sight. God says, I want you to live for my glory. I heard a guy say this once. He said, I wanted to succeed in life. I wanted to be important. I wanted to show that I was capable and able and not what I often heard as I was growing up, that I was stupid and that I wasn't able to do I wouldn't amount to anything. So I wanted to succeed in life, so I climbed the ladder of success. And I did it. And when I got to the top, I discovered that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. He wasted his life for the wrong thing. And if you're living for making money, for living for pleasure, living for yourself, wrong. Only God is worthy of your allegiance because he made you and he loves you and he has a plan for your life that is not your plan but his plan. He is the only one worthy to live for. So how do I do this? How do I live for the glory of God? Now, I could give you many ways to live for the glory of God, but because of time, let me just give you four quick ones. The first way to live for the glory of God is to show love to everybody. Did you know that every time you show love, it gives glory to God? Because God is love. It shows what God is like. And remember, glory is revealing what God is really like. God says, I am loving and I am compassionate and I want you to be like me. I want you to develop my character. I want you to learn to love people the way I love people. You see, God is love, and God loves, and God wants us to love. And how many times did Jesus say over and over, love one another the way I have loved you? We are to accept and love everybody. That's a big challenge. That's a big calling. That's not something you can do. But if you let God's power in you, you can do it by his power. Now, do you understand the difference between acceptance and approval? You can accept someone, you can love someone without approving of what they do. There's a big difference of acceptance and approval. We are to accept everybody. We are not to approve everything everybody does. God loves you, but it doesn't mean that he approves of everything you do. Love is not saying, I approve of what you do. Love is saying, I accept you in spite of what you do. Scripture tells us this, warmly welcome each other, and that means accept each other, into the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you. Then God will be glorified. Being friendly, being hospitable, being accepting, being loving brings glory to God. And when we're fighting with each other, or when we have disagreements, or when we get hurt by others, or when we find things that want to separate us from others, if we would take on the character of God and love them in the midst of what they've done and the way we've been hurt, not that we approve of what they're doing, but we accept them in the love of God, things happen in your life. Things happen that is not even imaginable because God's power and God's character and God's presence makes things happen out of that love that can't happen any other way. If you want to overcome a hurt that you've had with another person, then love them. Not that you're approving what they do, but you're accepting them because you're loving them the way God loves you. God loves you not because you're good and do everything good. God loves you because you are His. Here's the second way you could bring glory to God. Use your abilities to serve everybody. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, God has given each of you some special abilities, and be sure to use them to help each other. Now, circle help each other, because that's huge. When you use your abilities to help each other, what happens? God is glorified. God wired you to make a contribution in this world and in this life. Your talents, the stuff that make you up, that you're naturally good at, God didn't give them to you for your benefit. Your talents are for the benefits of other people, just as their talents are for the benefit of you. Everybody has different talents, but you are blessed then to be a blessing. In other words, you have your talents so that you can help others. God gave you what you are and made you the way you are so that you could be a blessing to others. In other words, you are blessed the way you are to be a blessing by helping others. Here's the third way we can show God's glory. Share the good news with everyone. The Bible says it's God's grace, and that's the good news of God's grace is about Jesus Christ. God's grace brings more and more people to Christ, God will receive more and more glory. We're not talking about bringing people to a religion or bringing people to church. We're talking about bringing people to a person, bringing people to Christ, loving them and showing them the love of Christ. Every time you share your faith and love, you bring glory to God. And here's the last way. The fourth way that you show God's glory is by joining God's family. You join the family of God, the church, His congregation. The Bible says this in Ephesians 3, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. I want you to hear something. The only thing that's going to last for eternity is God's family. Nothing else is going to last. The Bible says that one day the world will burn up and everything that we see and everything we know in this universe will be gone. And the Bible says in that day there will be a new heaven created and there will be a new earth created. And the only thing that's going to last is God's family. So we see from Scripture there's two things that will last forever. God's Word and God's people. Glorify God and Christ by being a part of His church, His family. Glorify God and Christ by becoming a member of this church. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Would you pray with me? Our Father who art in heaven, we all want your blessing on our lives, but not everybody is willing to do what you want us to do. We won't always obey what you tell us, Father. We don't always submit and surrender to you. And I pray that today your people will take the next step of your blessing. So, dear God, this prayer is our prayer. Dear God, I don't want to settle for less than what you've planned for me. So first, I want to live in your kingdom. I want to put you first in every area of my life. And second, dear God, I want to live by your power. Help me to depend more on you and less on myself. Give me the faith to take risks that are necessary to grow and to live for your glory. Now, God, help me to not give up when I'm afraid or when I'm discouraged. And finally, dear God, I want to live for your glory by using the abilities you've given me to serve others. I want my life to be a blessing to others so that they are not only blessed, but you can bless me. And I want to show love and hospitality to everybody. I want to serve them and share the good news with people who don't even know you. And Father, today, I'm going to confirm my faith as I pray the prayer that the Lord taught me to pray. And we're going to pray it together as your people, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I certainly pray that you will commit your life to God in a special way this morning through that prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Let us stand together as we recommit ourselves to God, as we sing, Blessed be the name of the Lord. May we